Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Everyday Woman Speaks. I am the one and only Margaret Smith Williams, your creator and your host, and it is here where we discuss faith, love, identity, and foolery. On Sunday, I was on a WhatsApp video call with one of my best friends, and she was helping me pack for an upcoming trip. So, as it usually happens when I'm on the phone with one of my friends who are moms, someone's kid is in the background either asking questions or being loud or just being a kid. And so during this conversation with my friend, her son was in the background and he was making like tons and tons of noise. And my friend said, "Son, the noise, I need you to respect my mind, please." And I burst out laughing. And I told her, like, "Friend, that's good. Like, that needs to be on a t-shirt." As a matter of fact, I was like, "This is going to be a good podcast topic." And she started laughing. She was just like, "But I need him to respect my mind." So here we are today. I think it's funny how the Lord gives me the most random insight from ordinary conversations or experiences. And so when my friend said, when she was talking to her son and she's like, "Respect my mind," like, I felt that. I felt that like in my heart. Like, you know how when you're at church and you feel the spirit, or you get the chills on your arm when it's cold, or when you have a brain freeze and like you really feel that in your bones. When my friend said, "Respect my mind," like, I totally felt that. So in the instance when my friend said, "Respect my mind," she was really talking to her son and his inability to be conscious of how his noise was affecting her ability to hear and think clearly. But I thought about it from like a personal perspective and how many times I don't respect my mind, or sometimes how I don't respect the mind of others. And I thought about like my son and my daughter who are both neurodivergent, meaning their brains process information, experiences, and the world differently than other kids their age. And over the past 5 or 6 years, I've spent so much time reading and training and adjusting and praying and attending seminars and really tailoring my ability to parent them according to not only what the Word of God says, but also how their minds operate. So in essence, I've been doing what my friends asked of her son, doing my best to respect their mind, respect their processing. Or when it comes to my husband, like, if you know him, he's definitely a mellow and just cool, calm, and collected guy. Like, he prefers to have tasks breaking down. He doesn't like a lot of chaos and busyness. He's just really cool. And so he prefers to process requests or information or thoughts like at a much calmer pace than my 100 mile per hour pace. So for instance, I wake up in the morning with a plan for the day. Like, as soon as my feet hit the ground, I'm in go mood. I'm up, I'm ready, and there's a list of things awaiting for me to accomplish. But he, on the other hand, he likes to take a moment. Like, he likes to take his time to get out of bed, and he sits up for a little bit, and then he puts his feet on the ground. Then he takes a moment to kind of catch his breath. Then sometimes he decides to watch the news or turn on the kettle to make some coffee. He wants to catch the sports highlights or maybe catch a rerun of something he didn't watch. And he prefers a calm, slower morning process. If I'm honest, at first, I used to be like looking at him like he was crazy. Like, "Sir, you are doing absolutely, like, what are you doing? Like, what you doing with your life? 2 minutes have passed and you have not done anything. Like, you just taking your time to get out of the bed and floating in the sky." Like, and I used to be like so dramatic and extra about it, I know. And then the Holy Spirit really had to check me and check me for being so judgy, to be honest. And also prideful, because I was thinking that my way of starting a morning was better than his. But I had to realize that this was his way of starting his day. And I had to respect his mind's way of preparing for the workday. So then I thought about, well, how do I respect my own mind? Like, what do I have in place, or what do I do to ensure that I hold my mind this place where every thought, every emotion, the center of my being, like, what do I do to hold that in high regard? Am I treating my mind as if it has the utmost value and importance? So the Critical Thinking Organization and Psychology Today defines our mind as, they say it's the seat of our human consciousness, meaning without it, you're not really existing. And they say that our mind has three basic functions, meaning thinking, feeling, and wanting. Your purpose of your mind is to carry your thoughts, your feelings, and your desires. And it really is such a sacred place. And if you take the scripture where the Bible talks about how your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we break it down, like your mind is also a place where the Holy Spirit lives. And so I thought about it. What am I doing to preserve this sacred space that God has blessed me with? What am I doing to preserve my mind's sanity, its longevity, like its ability to process clearly? Like, what am I doing to preserve and respect and take care of my mind so it has the ability to retain information and to make decisions clearly? I realized that I just can't think that my mind is gonna just automatically respect itself. Like, I think we feel like it's automatically going to protect its thoughts, automatically going to protect the things that it holds, but that's not how it works. Like, you know, we're born into this world with intent, so our notions aren't always to do what's right. We're also born in a culture where it's go, 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 watch, 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 listen, 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 intake, intake, intake. We're not necessarily consumed by a culture that tells you to be careful about the things that you take into your body. Be careful about the things that you allow your mind to process. And so I realized that it's not just going to happen automatically. Like, I'm not going to automatically just respect the sanctity of my mind. I have to make the necessary preparations to do that. Like, I have to have a plan in place to make sure that my mind is held in the highest esteem. So 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I love that it says preparing your minds, that it just doesn't go on to say be sober-minded. It says that there has to be a preparation process. Prepare your mind so that your mind can be sober-minded, so that you can set your hope fully on the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. Preparing my mind so that it can be respected and held in high regard. What does that look like to me? So I'm gonna break it down just a little bit for y'all. So the first thing I thought about was, if I wanna have the utmost respect for my mind, my thoughts, my emotions, the place where my feelings are held, I have to avoid instability. James 1:8 says, he is a double-minded man. He will be unstable in all of his ways. People usually refer to that scripture as in not being stable in your walk with Christ, or not being stable in following Jesus, or someone that's, you know, in the gray zone. But when I think about this, I also think about it from the aspect of us being like wishy-washy, or our inability to make decisions. I believe that there are decisions that sometimes that we need to make in life, whether it be to end relationships or begin relationships, to start a new career, to serve in ministry, to volunteer for organizations, to leave a job, to go back to school, to take a break, to take a sabbatical, to do something to protect or secure your health. But we keep going back and forth about those decisions. Like, one day we want to do it, the next day we're not. One day we're up, one day we're down. Our inability to make decisions, or the double-mindedness that we're having, is causing us to be restless, confused in our thoughts. Our behavior is all over the place. And to be honest, it makes the people around us extremely busy. When we operate in double-mindedness, it causes us to be unstable. Like, everything around us is unshaky, and it causes people to be unsure about us. It causes us to behave in unpredictable or changeable or an erratic manner. It also causes us to be emotionally unstable. So, and I think that when we operate in that, and we're double-minded, and we're unable to make decisions, when we're constantly indecisive, I'm sure that we are getting on the nerves of the people around us. I'm sure that we are getting on the nerves of the people that love us the most, because they're watching us in this space of indecisiveness, and they're like, come on now, what you doing? Make a decision, do what you need to do, and keep moving forward. I have an example for myself, because I remember when the Lord was dealing with me sometime just last fall about leaving my job in full-time ministry, and I knew that he was telling me to leave the job to go back into the corporate world. And I was like, I don't know. I just kept going back and forth. Like, I don't know, Lord, I don't know if that's you. And I remember speaking to my friends about it, and they let me go back and forth for a little bit. Like, okay, Margaret, I understand that you have your thoughts about it, and you're a little leery and nervous, and starting over is hard, and going to a different field is hard, and leaving a place that you love and you're comfortable with is hard. But then they were like, you know what, can you just make a decision already? Like, we're over it. Make the decision, do what God is telling you to do, and keep going. In that instance, when I was just really going back and forth, I was really disrespecting my mind, putting it in a state of just uneasiness, and also like wasting my time. So if we want to make sure that we're respecting our mind and respecting this beautiful brain that God has given us, we have to make sure that we avoid instability. The next thing that I thought about a way that we can respect our minds is that we have to handle it with care. You got to handle your mind with care. So it's funny, I don't know if you're like me, but we have a regime or a way that we take care of everything. So for instance, I'm a Black girl, and we got a special scarf for everything. So when I wear braids, I'm wearing a bonnet. When I got my bob in, I got to wear a bandana scarf. Then I got to wear a bonnet on top, and I got to tie the bandana a certain way so it don't bend the line and put a curl, you know, or put the curls in the wrong spot or mess up the blunt cut. When I get my hair done, it's not my hair. When I get my nails done, I only go to one person. I've been going to this person for years. I don't be switching and choosing and changing. If they're not available, I'm going to go without my nails being done. I got a certain person for a pedicure. I got a certain makeup that I use. Like, we have these ways of handling the things that we like with care. And I even think about my daughter and my niece. Like, they're really big into skincare, which I don't remember being that way my age. I remember the only thing I really remember about skincare was the Noxzema, you know, the thing in the dark blue container, and it was a cream. That's all I remember growing up. These kids nowadays be in Sephora, wasting up the line from the grown people, buying Sol de Janeiro. Ayana was looking for something called Sunday something the other day. And they have like all these specialty things. Like, my niece and my daughter are into Fenty skincare. They got like 5 to 12 step skincare process. All these things to really preserve their skin. And they don't even know that at this age you have the best skin in the world when you're young like them. And so I thought about like the emphasis that is placed on taking care of things that really have no way to sustain us, and how we don't place as much emphasis on taking care of our minds. Do we place as much emphasis on the things that we listen to, or the things that we watch, or the conversations we engage in? Because at the end of the day, all of those things will reveal how we respect and care for our minds. For me, there's a certain level of silence that I need in the morning. I just have to have it. Like, even when I'm driving, I can't really listen to talk shows anymore. I used to listen to it when Tom Joyner was on, but he's not on anymore. But I can't listen to the news, or I really can't watch TV, because I have to ensure that my mind is quiet and clear, like, to start the day. And even before I go to bed, like, I'm particular about what I watch or what I read. I try not to read like articles in the news before I go to sleep. I try not to watch too much TV before I go to sleep. And because my mind is like super sensitive, I don't know if that applies to anybody else, but me, before I go to sleep, my mind is like super sensitive, and I have to handle it with care. Like, I can't watch thrillers. I can't watch scary movies. I can't watch sci-fi stuff. Can't watch crazy things, because literally I won't sleep and my dreams are going to be invaded by these things. But I have friends who can listen to true crime or watch sci-fis and thrillers or watch whatever, and they fall asleep and have no problems whatsoever. But me? No, ma'am. I can't do that. Not I. Another way that I have to make sure that I'm handling my mind with care is I have to make sure I have a monthly therapy appointment. That is a way for me to talk and offload and obtain perspective and even accountability. I also have to make sure that I limit, you know, the types of things I watch or the types of music I listen to. And this may not be the case for you, but for me, this is a way that I can handle my mind with care. If it's a hectic day at work and I'm at capacity, like, sometimes I just don't answer calls or engage in things that I know is going to clutter my brain. I even try not to work before 9:00 a.m. or I try not to work after work is done. If something is heavy on my heart or something is weighing heavy on me, Of course, I pray about it, but I sometimes have to find someone to talk to if it's, of course, not a sensitive matter. And I have to offload it so that I can handle my mind with care, so that I can keep the load of my mind as light and as easy as possible. I don't know how you care for your mind, or even if you have a routine that allows you to do so, but I ask that you please take a moment just to evaluate how you do this. How do you care for your mind? How do you treat it with caution? What boundaries do you put in place? How kind are you to the place that governs nearly all of the decisions that you make on a daily basis? We really have to handle our minds with care. That's a form of respecting our minds. Another way that I found that kind of works for me to be able to respect my mind is to mind my business. And sometimes this can be hard, especially when it comes to the people that we love. But most of the time, our minds are often cluttered with the concerns of others, or even the expectations that others have of us. I just had to learn, like, this is a hard lesson for me to learn. If the Lord has not placed it on my heart to be consumed with or worried about or invested in, I've really got to mind my business. I got to respect and care for my mind enough to not be overly invested with others or the expectations that others have of me. Another thing is that we can't be consumed with the decisions that others are making. My mom has told me recently that she's in a season of contentment where God is really teaching her about contentment. Not necessarily contentment with whatever circumstance or situation that she's in, but the ability to be content with the decisions that other people make. And I've been thinking about that, and that's a really hard thing for us to do. And I think that's something that we have to grasp if we want to mind our business and respect and care for our minds. We have no control over the decisions that other people make. Even if we think that they're making the most horrible, most detrimental decisions, at the end of the day, everyone's an adult, everyone's their own person, and we're only responsible for our decisions, our actions, and our responses. Also, I have to remember that I am not Jesus. I am not to be involved in everything that everybody's got going on. I am not built for it, and I do not have capacity for it. This is how I can respect my mind, by minding my business. The last thing that I want to think about, or talk about, shall I say, is in order for me to respect my mind is that I really have to let my mind breathe and give it personal space. So when we talk about personal space, my son is not really good at that. He hasn't really grasped personal space concept. So for instance, he'll say, "Mom, I want to show you something." He's going to put the phone like right to my nose where the phone is touching my phone. Or if I ask for a pencil, he's going to put the pencil right to my face. And I'm like, personal space. And I think we do the same things with our mind. We crowd it and clutter it up close and personal with so many things that we don't allow it to breathe. We don't give it space. According to research, the average person has about 6,000 thoughts per day. Like, that's a lot. And if you have a tendency to be very overanalytical like me, you probably got about 12,000 thoughts per day. Thinking about all of those thoughts that are infiltrating your mind, we won't even think about 6,000 thoughts. We just know that our mind is thinking and going. But when you think about how much information and how many things are being processed through our brains, like, we have to have moments to breathe. I fell in love with Pilates last year, not only because I felt good and it made my body feel good and I was like real snatched and I had abs and all, but I loved it because it taught me the importance of deep breathing and being present and conscious in the moment. It taught me the importance of respecting my mind and my body enough to give it a moment to breathe, to slow down, to not do everything at lightning speed, and to just take it 1 second, one breath, one movement at a time. Sidebar, if someone is out there and you're trying to figure out what do I give Margaret for her 40th birthday, Pilates gift card or a whole Pilates reformer for my garage will be just the best gift. Thank you very much. Anyway, getting back to what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit brought that back to my attention recently, you know, the concepts that I learned in Pilates. And he showed me that, you know, as soon as I wake up in the morning, that my brain was already in a to-do mode or go mode. He reminded me about that I needed to reroute this, to stop this behavior and reroute my brain to do other things. On most days when I wake up, I just lie there. I don't care if it's 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I have to lie there first. I lie there. I don't turn on the light. the most movement I might make is to grab my phone to turn on like some really soft worship music or the sound of water and waves. And I just take a moment to really practice deep breathing. Or for instance, on Spotify, like they might have these deep breathing exercises. And it just really takes a moment for me to stop, take a moment to inhale, exhale, and even take some time to pray during that time. And I'm asking God, you know, in those moments, and I'm saying to him, this is the day that you've given me. And I'm reminding my body, I'm reminding my mind, I'm reminding myself that I was given this day as a gift from God. And in my own will, in my own intellect, in my own physical strength, I cannot do it. But in God, everything is possible, that my abilities are rooted in him. And even there's a song that I think about when I think about when you're waking up in the morning. There's a song the old saints used to say, I woke up this morning with my mind and it was stayed on Jesus. That it's kind of like that. So I have to train myself to like wake up in the morning and focus my mind on what is important, what is going to give me the ability to breathe, give my mind the personal space that it needs to be able to relax and breathe before it begins a day that will most likely be filled with 6,000 thoughts. My grandmother went home to be with the Lord almost 7 years ago, I believe it was. And she left this earth a little bit after her 90th birthday. It caught us all by surprise because she was diagnosed with cancer less than a year prior to her death. And my grandmother was living by herself. She had no need for nurses or health aides, and she would walk to the grocery store. And she was literally one of the most healthy and vibrant and lively and spicy and funky senior citizens that I know of. Like, no one ever thought that my grandmother was 90. First of all, she looked 60. She was just amazing and in great shape. And so I remember that up until her death, like even when I was younger, she would always be praying in the morning and she'll be like, thank you, Lord, for keeping me in my right mind. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to think clearly. Thank you, Lord, that my mind is clear and sound. And I never understood what she meant when she said that as a kid. But as an adult that has seen some things and experienced some things and understood, you know, that without a right mind, without a mind stayed on Jesus, like we won't make it in this world. And so I think about her prayer today and I'm like, Lord, not only do I thank you for keeping me in my right mind, but I thank you for teaching me to respect my mind, to care for my mind, to guard over my mind, to protect it. And so I hope that today that I've encouraged you to really take inventory of what you're doing with your thoughts, take inventory of what you're allowing to come in and take up space in your mind. And I just want to pray with us today. So Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just always revealing to us the things that you see that we don't see. I thank you, God, for loving us so much, for bringing things to our attention and reminding us that we got to sometimes stop and take inventory and make better choices so that we can care for our bodies and care for our minds. God, I thank you that in a world that is filled with so much stress and so much anxiety and so many things to do, so many responsibilities, God, I thank you that your word reminds us in Isaiah 26:3 that you will keep us in perfect peace if our minds are stayed on you and if we trust in you. So I thank you, God, that as we are in this moment trying to reroute our actions and our behaviors and our attitudes to respect and care for our minds, that you first and foremost help us to keep our mind aligned in you and aligned on you and stayed on you. God, I thank you that instead of us being anxious about life and about what we will eat and what we will drink or things like what we shall wear, God, I thank you that we will be consumed with who you are and how great you are and that you are concerned about everything in our midst. God, I thank you that your word reminds us in Romans 8:6, that if we set our mind on the things of the flesh, it will bring us death. It will cause us heartache. It will cause us pain. It will cause us heaviness. It will cause us to feel overwhelmed. But I thank you, God, that you remind to us that if we set our mind on the spirit and the life, that this is where we can find peace. So I thank you, God, that you're reminding us each and every day to set our minds on you, to give our minds a moment to breathe, to give our minds a moment to pause to protect and cover our minds so that we can operate in a place of peace. God, we know that sometimes we pick up bad habits and we've had bad experiences and life is hard. But Lord, we're asking you today that you would transform us by the renewing of our minds. Because when our minds are renewed, then we will know what it is you would have for us to do. Then we will know what it is, what your will and your way is for us today. So we thank you, God, for renewing our minds. And lastly today, Father, I pray that you would give us the strength that it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to destroy and cast down every lofty thing, everything that comes against our mind, everything that we hear, we see, we feel that would exalt itself above who you are, above who you say we are, and above what your promises are for us. So I thank you, God, that we have determined today that we are going to respect our minds, that we are going to make the decisions that we need to protect and cover our minds so that they can be a place not only where you dwell, but that they can be a place that is one of peace, one that allows us to make clear and sound decisions, one that allows us to rest and lie down and sleep at night, one that allows us to awake in the morning without fear or dread or anxiety of the day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for giving us the strength and the resources and the will and the accountability to be able to do this and to respect our minds and to preserve this body that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's it for today. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of The Everyday Woman Speaks. I ask that you please like, subscribe, and share. Feel free to reach out to me via email. My email is theeverydaywomanspeaks@gmail.com. Until next time, my prayer is that you will live right, that you will love right, and that you will be right. Thank you.